we have been purchased and adopted and claimed, reconciled to you through Christ. And it is such a good thing, Father. And there are so many that that claim to know you, and yet they have no desire to gather with the saints, to worship you, to praise you, to be encouraged by brothers and sisters in Christ, and more importantly, Lord, to show up, to gather, to offer you our service, and praising you, and blessing you, and blessing one another. Lord, I do ask that you would have your way with our church. You would strengthen us and actually edify us, that you would mold us and shape us according to what you want for us here, purposefully, and not just for ourselves. Lord, that you would use us, that we would glorify Christ's name, that we would exalt Christ as King, not only of the world, but even in particular here where you have placed us, that we would demonstrate our faith and be a blessing to this community, Lord. And so give us courage, because when we go out, Lord, to those that will reject us, we will be the carriers of death. But to those, Lord, that you call, we will be a sweet aroma of life. So Christ, lead us in that, in this community. Please be with the saints that desire so much to be here with us. And bless them, strengthen them, encourage them, lift them back into the gathering of the saints. In Jesus' name. Last week, we began to look at our topic of church membership. In particular, last week, I desired to show us a biblical argument for church membership. And there are some that would hold to the point or position that church membership isn't supported by Scripture, that it's not biblical. I'm not only speaking of individual members, there are whole churches that would stand outright against what I'm going to do this morning, what I did last week, and what I intend to do next week, and giving us just a fuller scope of church membership and the biblical argument for it. We consider the subject of church membership from the book of Acts. And I found it out in the first chapter and the second chapter how you have these recorded names and numbers. And while recorded names and numbers of believers are not a strong argument for biblical membership, the fact that they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, to prayer, to the duties of a devoted Christian, that begins to speak to one unified body. And when I speak of church membership, that is what I'm speaking of. I'm not speaking of the formalities of your name on a list or your name recorded on paper. That's not to say that I don't encourage you to do that either. You see, we noticed that the early church, the first church in Acts, in particular Acts 1 and 2, that they were continually devoting themselves to these things. They were described as being people of one mind or the same soul. They were described as a unity of faith and all things in common. And even when you have the day of Pentecost and the influx of thousands of believers, so you went from a few hundred to thousands of believers, still recorded and is still identified, it being the scriptures, God's word, identified that, described that, still being devoted to the gathering of the saints. They're still continually devoting themselves to the apostles' leadership. And that's important. Because their unity was not a unity based on some political agenda. Their unity was first and foremost built on faith. What the church believes. And that is at the heart of church membership. Every church has to have a statement of faith where they present doctrinal positions of what not just the church teaches, but what the elders see is right and biblical and God-honoring and what will be brought out by the elders and by the teachers that the elders oversee. And any teaching that departs from the statement of faith, that departs from the doctrinal beliefs, is problematic and needs to be taken care of quickly. And if you look at our church bylaws, it gives counsel on if the teachers or elders or pastors begin to go in a different direction, that they would quietly and submit to the church and say, you know what, this is the way that I understand things now, and if not the right church, encourage those, stay there, and then they will be given grace to find another like-minded church. The church was united by faith due to their doctrinal or theological agreement, based on what they understood about God. This was church was taught by the apostles, who were all taught by Jesus. As the gospel went forth, more people believed, and churches were planted, and then Jesus gave, and still gives, churches, pastors, or elders and teachers to help lead those churches, his churches, and to continue to maintain faith through doctrine according to the teaching of his word. So you have this initial body that was gathered and had a unity of faith by what they understood about God, and even though there was an influx of believers at the day of Pentecost, those believers still contribute to the devotion and the unity of the faith. And then as the church grew larger than that and began to go forth, the gospel was preached and all the different land that was preached, and churches began to be planted and developed. And Jesus Christ, the head of the church, gives the churches, these elder pastors, teachers, to go and take those same doctrines and teach the doctrines to the churches so the churches maintain the unity of faith. This is one reason why Paul would go back and check on churches and install elders to help those churches to maintain that unity of faith. It's also why Paul instructed Timothy and God to appoint elders in their church so that the faith and the unity of faith would be maintained. And so that the church, by Christ, gifting of the church with elders and pastors, would be equipping the saints for the work of ministry. Equipping the saints for the work of ministry. Elders and pastors and teachers are called to equip the saints for the work of ministry. One of the reasons why you should be gathered here today is so that you can grow in Christ's likeness, so that you can serve the people that are right next to you right now. Next week, we're going to talk about how we're all members of one another, also to one another. We rely on each other, not as in to take the responsibility of God, but God works through us, blesses us, and helps us to come alongside one another. But elders and pastors, teachers, according to Ephesians chapter 4, 11 through 13, were given to the church as grace gifts by Christ, so that the church would be edified and be built up or be equipped for the ministry. The Holy Spirit distributes gifts in church for the church. And sometimes us, the saints, we receive these gifts from the Spirit, we don't know how to apply them into the church, we don't have a place to apply them to church. But you're only meeting with the church a few hours a week, there's no way that you're going to be able to be used in the way that God's called you to be used. And so the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives the saints, they begin to go out into the world and benefit businessmen. Sometimes more than they're able to benefit the church. But the relationship between the elder and the church member was not an elder. It is not a senior and junior relationship. It's a relationship of love. That's not one directional. That love, it moves from the elder to the church member as not an elder and vice versa. This morning we're going to be looking at how God gives the responsibility to the elders are another evidence of biblical church membership. God has called some men. Women may not be elders, and I don't need to hammer that point home. Women are not pastors. God calls some men to the ministry of shepherding his flock. They are to lead as an act of worship first to God and then to the rest of the members. They are to present to the gathered saints a wonderful example of Christ-like loving service. And they are to be a blessing to the whole body in such a way that members rejoice in the spiritual care their soul receives through their elders. Turn with me, please, to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. I want to look at the first four verses in 1 Peter chapter 5. That was considered and begin to consider the role, the work of an elder. Let me say the words of Peter, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, I exhort the elders among you, as your fellow elder, and witness of the sufferings of Christ, and partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, and not for sordid gain, but with eagerness, nor yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. things that exert the elders among you. That means that you cannot be an elder away from your body. The elders have to be part of the fold, part of the flock. They're entrusted with the flock, but they're with that flock. I exhort the elders among you. They're with you. They're living their life around you. And sometimes when we read the New Testament, it can be hard for us to kind of relate because we do something as if this church or these New Testament time churches didn't hear that they all live close to each other. There's no electricity, there's no refrigeration. No one's in a market, no one's in one city, they all went to be a lot together, they all went and did things and saw each other. I go to Walmart and I see people from time to time, but not all the time. Sometimes I see people and I go away. Especially if they haven't been in church for a while. But there is a community that they have. And sometimes I don't have to do that. I've got to move to church or something. But they're among each other. They serve the elders. They serve the elders among you as your fellow elder, as a peer, is saying, I'm one with you, but I'm one with the experience of what I've been through the sufferings of Christ and with the forsaker also of his glory that it can be revealed to me in Christ revealed on Mount Transfiguration. And this is what he exhorts the elders to do. Shepherd the flock of God among you. So not only are they elders with the flock, the flock of the elders, he's putting them together, right? Shepherd the flock of God among you. And understand this, brother. I love you so much, but not as much as the Lord. And you are God. Shepherd the flock of God. You are God's flock. You belong to God. You know what that means? I can't be careful. And I would always have to be careful. Because you're God's flock. You're not my flock to tinker with and toy with. Shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight. Oversight. That means that the elders have sight over everything that's done in the church. Everything. Doesn't mean that they micromanage every single decision. By God's grace, we have plenty of leaders here that know how to lead well. But we all have a rapport, right? We all communicate the things that we're doing to each other. Even if it's in a receipt that's really like Carol's, I'm sorry. But the elders were given to shepherd, and to shepherd is to care physically and spiritually for the congregation. Physically and spiritually for the congregation. To have oversight, to be aware of what's going on in the lives of the saints. Not just simply say what color we want, bulletin to be, or whatever to advertise something. I really don't care about that, but I care about your love for God. I care about how you're walking with the Lord. I care about the things that you're dealing with, the things that are plaguing your soul. And every elder here should feel the same way. And so elders are given a flock of God to exercise oversight with. I'm not going to go over all of these. I'm just kind of sharing thinking on purpose so that we can see how this points to membership. Because the elder needs to know who his flock is, who belongs to his flock, who is a part of his flock. Look there at verse 3. It says, nor yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge. So if you're a part of this church and you're not an elder, the scriptures are telling you that you've been allotted to the charge of ours here. Johnny and Brad and Mr. Raritan, Owen and Paul, myself. Allotted to the charge of elders. And he says, but proving to be examples to the flock. Well, elder not the Lord and over the flock, we're to be examples to the flock. What kind of examples? I'll give you a very, very scary but true example. Turn back in 1 Peter to chapter 2 and the last verse in chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 25. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 25. And Peter is dealing with the sense of subject matter. They're suffering, saying they're being persecuted, and he's calling them to still walk in a godly manner in light of their persecution, and that Christ as an example. And in verse 25, he's touched Christ in a high position, because Christ is in a high position. He says, for you were continually straying as sheep, pursuing. But now you have become to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. The shepherd and the guardian of your souls. Those two descriptions of Jesus Christ are given to us in the portion that we were in 1 Peter chapter 5. It's the same word when Peter said, shepherd the flock of God. Shepherd the flock of God. As Christ is the shepherd. And then verse 2 says, I said, shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight. And that word oversight is the same word that's being used in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 25, as guardian. Christ is the chief shepherd and the chief guardian of our souls. And then Christ gives elders to the church to make them examples, loving examples to lead his church as under shepherds and even under guardians, if you will. That's the example. How does we have a hard call? We have a hard call. We cannot sort it out without Christ's help. I'm thankful to the Lord. And he's given us a gracious group of saints that know that we're not perfect. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 4 is a biblical argument for church membership. He says, there is no way that a shepherd can shepherd a flock and be an example to a flock and be overseers to a flock. That's just a mixed bag of people that are committed and not committed, and people that flow in and out of the flock. Say, who am I a shepherd? The bumblebee that rolls in the door and leaves the door open? Turn with me to the book of Acts. The book of Acts, chapter 20, and the book of Acts, chapter 20. Elder shepherds, which means that he takes concern and counsel of physical and spiritual care for the flock of God among him, to which he has been entrusted with oversight. And remember that he shepherds, and at the end of the shepherd, the chief shepherd will give him an unfading crown of glory. So we can see that Christ has placed him as an under-shepherd. Christ has placed him as an under-shepherd. But not only has Christ placed him as an under-shepherd, according to Acts chapter 20, verse 28, the Holy Spirit has also made him an overseer. which is in Paul's words as he sent to have the Ephesian elders gather to him, and now he's speaking with the Ephesian elders. He tells them, be on your guard. See, be on guard for yourselves and for all of the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Be on guard. Elders, we have to not only wash the flock, we have to wash ourselves, our lives, and our doctrine. How we behave, how we conduct ourselves, not only around the church and in the church, but even outside the church. Because if our name is a poor reputation outside the church, we disqualify ourselves. But then all of us are doctrine, what we teach, with our teaching, keeping the church gathered together and keeping a harmony and a unity that fit into what we believe in. Orthodox Christian position. Orthodox just means historically right, if you will. But we need to be on guard, elders, for ourselves and the bodies of our also watch all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. So not just for us, but also the Holy Spirit has made elders overseers of the church, the same language that Peter uses, elders and oversight. For what purpose? To shepherd the church of God. So Paul says church of God, or Peter says flock of God. Same responsibility. This is the same balance, right? Flock of God, church of God.
You're the flock of God, so you're in the church of God. Just by Christ's blood, his own blood, his very blood, means purchased by Christ's death. The church has been purchased by Christ's death. And that makes the church very special again. And he takes from this very special group that's been purchased by Christ, and he makes an allotment. He designates a portion of it. And he says, here, elders of this church, care for these. Here, elders of this church, care for these. And then the elders are to shepherd with those things in mind, not toward the church. But we are called to lay our lives down in serving the church, just as Christ did. He's our example. Our example. When we consider the church, we need to consider the church well. When someone burns you in the church without a saint, sin against you, you don't go to somebody and grab out that saint. That saint's been purchased by God. You go and you go with your brother and your sister and you say, you did this. It bothered me. Something's going on in the church. You know, human soul. And it is not where I need to be. Every church has a doctrine of faith or a statement of faith. And before coming to this church, I had to read over the powers. I had to agree with coming in here, understanding it, to preach it, to teach it, to carry it out. And as a member of this church, as a whole, whether or not they want to be here as a pastor. And that's really significant. Because whether or not you were thinking this way, what you were doing, if you were a member, and maybe someone said, we'll see. I don't know who they are. I don't even know what the school was. I just made it out of the kingdom. Because as I began it, you're stumbling forever. Anyways, what an actual was saying is, hey, we want this man to come in and spiritually lead us and be a part of our life, to get in our life, and we're going to get his life, and we're going to be growing together. We want that. We got that, and we want one another, and so we're calling this one to do that. And I go, I'm working. And you know, here we are. 5 years later, right? I'm closing that time. But to those that were not members, you didn't have hope. You got stuck with whatever the members you're voting for. Well, I want to encourage you to have a say in this church by being a member of this church. I want to encourage you to have a say. I want to point out a few things. I cannot microwave this. I want to point out a few things for us, just for practical shepherding of the church, practical shepherding of the church. You know, the elders in Acts began to weep when Paul met with him. They began to weep. Because Paul told them that they wouldn't see his face again. He's going to Jerusalem. They wouldn't see his face again. And I have this quote from a Puritan who said that pastors are like books, okay? They're like books. And those of you that like them, well, some of you are like, I hate books, so yeah, pastors like books. People are book reading, people are book lovers. Pastors can't even compare to books. If someone loans you a book, especially back then in the 1500s, they don't want you to keep the book, they're loaning it to you. You're going to pour over that book 1 or 2 days, you're going to know you've got to give it back. You're not going to have it forever. But if it's your book, you can kind of like trip over it. You can always get to it. You know, it's always there. You know, read it when you want to read it. And this church and pastor said, remember your ministers are but lent to you. Remember your ministers are but lent to you, that they are not your own. And you do not know when God may take your Elijahs from you this night. Therefore, make what use you can of them who have, while you have them, make what use of them that you can while you have them. We all know when the Lord will call us. We might want to start studying those books if we haven't. We haven't. The elders in the New Testament were called in 1 Timothy chapter 9, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 9. Paul gives Timothy instructions for widows and how to care for widows. And in 1 Timothy 9, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 9. He tells Timothy to take care of the widow.
track on growth so that they can exercise shepherding care over the widows. They gave letters of recommendation related to the heart of church membership. Because I heard some people believe that you can just go to whatever church, whatever week you want to go, and just kind of, you know, pop in, pop out, you church hop. You know, hey, you know, I've heard stories where there have been families that like the music ministry at one church, and as soon as the scene is done, they're really big in the car, they don't like that pastor's preaching, and they like the preaching down the road, so they being that. For a different one this week because they're not there, you know, the youth pastors, these are too skinny, so they're, you know, they take them somewhere else, right? That's not church. That's not the gathering of devoted Christians that are devoted not just to a building, they're devoted to each other. They want to be part of the lives of one another and grow. I want to see their kids grow. There's no church hopping in the New Testament. And it's funny because it could be dangerous to be a Christian in the New Testament. It's dangerous. There was outside influence that was dangerous. But then there was also danger of any old person coming into the church and trying to sheep away. You didn't know what you believed. You didn't know what they were going to do. And that happened to some voting. Then what he's happening a year on home? Because we don't know where he lives. And so the elders were responsible with writing letters of recommendation. They received this thing when this thing goes to another church. They're part of us. They've been good. They've been happy. They've helped serve this. This is how they serve this church. Brought me to Romans chapter 16. This is what Paul does. Paul says, before he gives a list of a ton of things, a list of things. Remember, the list isn't an argument in itself, but it is definitely small evidence of church membership. Keep your record of the Lord. Romans chapter 16. So I commend to you your sister Phoebe, who is a servant of the church, which is at Sancro. Let you receive her in the Lord, in a manner worthy of the saints, and that you help her in whatever matter she may have need of you. For she herself has also been a helper of many, and of myself as well. I commend her to you. I commend her to you. If you're taking notes, you can write down Acts 18:27. You can write down Colossians 4:10. 2 Corinthians 3:1-2. That's Acts 18:27. That's Colossians 4:10. And 2 Corinthians 3:1-2. There are all other references of letters of recommendation of elders saying receive these. Why? Because the Lord is precious. true, I get all spit in my face and gives all sorts of colorful language that I will not use again. All because I was inheriting some rings that were out of shape. And I was in trouble because of how out of shape they were in. And the whole time I'm thinking, I don't even know you guys, and I'm paying for it. I'm paying for it, I don't know you guys, right? That will not happen to pastors. That will not happen to pastors. Look at Hebrews 13, 17. And beloved, you are exhorted here. Obey your leaders and submit to them. For they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. Elders will stand and give an account for those that have been entrusted to them. They will. But as though is not symbolic. For they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Will give an account. Elders will give an account. And this verse can contain me. Because I hope all of those that I see now, I will give an account for. Because if I don't give an account for you, it means that you are never destined to my care. And the care of all the church. If all that was done, we'll all give an account in the same month. Obey your leaders and submit to them. That is why sometimes elders need to tell us the hard truths. Consider this quote also of Puritan. The worst of men are in deep sleep, and the best of men are too often in sinful slumber. And therefore, faithful ministers have need to cry aloud. They have need to be courageous and zealous, to awaken both sinners and saints, that none may go sleeping to hell. Cowardice in a minister is cruelty. If he fears the faces of men, he is a murderer of the souls of men. We need to be able to say the hard truths with love. We need to be able to say the hard truths. We are called to obey our leaders and submit to them because they keep watch over our souls and will give them time. There is a joy in church membership and a multitude of joys. And one of those joys is this, that God has given you men that not only love you, but love God, and by that love, love to serve. And we're not perfect. We can be, and at times should be, corrected. But I hope that we're able to model Christ before you, to show you the blessing that is in the church. Having loving leaders care for you and shepherd the flock that is not theirs, it's not a flock. And that is just one other argument. To be a formal member of the church. Let's go before our gracious Heavenly Father and our Chief Shepherd and ask for his blessing. Father, I thank you so much for this time, and Lord Jesus, I also thank you as the Chief Shepherd, you have entrusted some under shepherds to care for this flock.